Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear, page by page. This is page 69. Reddening skin of his cheek, his expression pure astonishment. What in God's name is wrong with you? Nothing is wrong with me, I said, but you do well to watch your tone. I like you well enough, but just because I don't have a set of rich parents doesn't mean you're one whit better than me. I frowned and spit again. God, that's foul. I hate nutmeg. I have ever since I was a child. A sudden realization washed over Simmons' face. The taste in your mouth, he said. Is it like plums and spice? I nodded. It's disgusting. God's gray ashes, Sim said, his voice hushed in grim earnest. Okay, you're right. You've been drugged. I know what it is. He trailed off as I turned around and started to open the door. What are you doing? I'm going to go kill Ambrose, I said, for poisoning me. It's not a poison. It's... He stopped speaking abruptly, then continued in a calm, level voice. Where did you get that knife? I keep it strapped to my leg under my pants, I said, for emergencies. Sim drew a deep breath, then let it out. Could you give me a minute to explain before you go kill Ambrose? I shrugged. Okay. Would you mind sitting down while we talk? He gestured to a chair. I sighed and sat down. Fine, but hurry. I've got admission soon. Sim nodded calmly and sat on the edge of his bed, facing me. Okay. You know when someone's been drinking and they get it into their heads to do something stupid, and you can't talk them out of it, even though it's obviously a bad idea. I laughed. Like when you wanted to go talk to that Harper girl outside the Aeolian and threw up on her horse? He nodded. Exactly like that. There's something an alchemist can make that does the same thing, but it's much more extreme. I shook my head. I don't feel drunk in the least. My head is clear as a bell. Sim nodded again. It's not like being drunk, he said. It's just that one piece of it. It won't make you dizzy or tired. It just makes it easier for a person to do something stupid. I thought about it for a moment. I don't think that's it, I said. I don't feel like I want to do anything stupid. There's one way to tell, Sim said. Can you think of anything right now that seems like a bad idea? I thought for a moment, tapping the flat of the knife blade idly against the edge of my boot. And that's the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
Simon is handling this wonderfully. He's in a lot of danger. Quoth is holding the knife throughout this scene, although we don't get reminded of that until the very end when he's tapping it on his boot. But Simon is a champ.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been struck. So like now this guy who struck him a second ago is holding a knife. But Simon is calmly dealing with it, explaining it to him, and ultimately he does get through to him and keep him safe. It's incredible.
Yes, he keeps a calm head. Probably the absolute worst thing he could do would be to get mad at Quoth for hitting him, right?
Or to try and take the knife away. That would also be bad.
Mm-hmm. We have not been told before that Quoth carries a knife like this.
It makes perfect sense that he does.
It does, yes, but it also suggests that Quoth has been wearing this, you know, since Tarbin, since he got the knife at the very least, and he's never told us, right? Mm-hmm. What else is Quoth not telling us?
I bet he started carrying it after the guys jumped him in the alley.
Probably, but he never
told us.
Because
if he had it, then he would have used it then.
You think so? Really? I mean, personally, I think something like carrying a knife or, you know, a gun is really just there to make you feel better. And if you pull it in an actual situation, you're just escalating the situation and asking for it to be used against you. Well, that's neither here nor there.
I think that this is also another one of those moments where he's revealing something about himself to Sim that he normally wouldn't. I don't think he would normally pull that knife out around Sim because he doesn't want Sim to know that he's carrying a knife.
Yeah, of course not.
Absolutely.
He doesn't even pull it out around us, the readers. Like, I think this is a sign that there's way, way more that Quoth keeps to himself than we understand. Like, reading this book and thinking we're getting candor from the narrator is a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this is a great example of that.
And Quoth doles out just enough of what would seem to be uncomfortable truths about himself so that he can get away with hiding the really uncomfortable truths about himself.
Totally.
But I also just want to bring up that we were right about why Quoth hit Sim on our previous page, because he tells him straight up, you know, just watch it around me. Like, I didn't grow up with rich parents, but that doesn't mean you get to think that you're better than me. Is exactly his motivation for hitting it.
It's funny to watch this situation and sort of know both sides of it, because we know more about how Quoth feels about this, but we can also glean from Sim's personality that he doesn't think he's better than Quoth.
Well, but he might not think that he's behaving in a way that would suggest that he thinks he's better than Quoth, but he is.
I mean, that very line, "Were you born in a barn?" is something that is like suggesting, even without necessarily meaning to, that you have more class than the person you're talking to.
Yeah. Right?
But he's also assuming that Quoth wasn't born in a barn.
Yeah, but that's that's deeply classist.
He assumes that nobody is born in a barn, because why would you be?
What I'm saying is not that Simon isn't classist. What I'm saying is that Simon doesn't think he's any better than Quoth.
Right, but like he has these internalized, like,
exactly. This is an internalized thing. It's the same way that we can be racist without meaning to be racist, without thinking consciously racist thoughts. We can still have assumptions about the world that are racist.
Yeah, right. Racism, classism isn't argument. Racism and classism isn't being mean. It's failing to challenge the assumptions and the systems that keep you at an advantage. Right.
But like, we're making the same point. That's not the, I'm not arguing against that.
Yeah, we're not having an argument. We're just,
okay, I'm just confused, because it just seems like we're saying the same thing.
I think to each other. Maybe what wasn't clear is like, Sim doesn't think he's being rude, but he doesn't think that because he has a certain set of assumptions. He doesn't understand that there are people who are born in barns, and that it is a rude thing to say to someone, "Were you born in a barn?" because that implies something negative about being born in a barn. Sim, that doesn't occur to him, because as far as he is concerned, that's not an issue, because no one he has ever met before was born in a barn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So he is
But there's two things happening here. And one is that, like, Sim is, like, unknowingly being classist, but the other is that, like, Quoth is not in, like, Quoth's still a pretty smart person, and, like, he would normally be able to recognize that Sim was being classist, and he would approach it probably in one of two relatively logical ways, either, like, addressing it calmly or, like, moving over it the way he does when he's trying to hide something. But in this case, he doesn't, like, it doesn't occur to him that Sim isn't trying to hurt him.
I don't think he's responding to being hurt. I think he's like, just responding, right? I don't think he's necessarily hurt by it. He just, like, slap, don't do that.
Yeah, the same way you, like, smack a kid's hand away from the hot burner on the stove, right?
You slap a kid's hand away from a hot burner to protect them.
Right, and he's doing this because this is probably what he always wants to say to Sim, but he's too nice, he's too polite to do that. But now he's not, because he has no inhibitions anymore.
But neither of those things protect Simon.
Yeah, he's not protecting Simon. He's reacting on instinct.
Yeah, so your analogy doesn't make any sense.
Well, but when you slap a kid's hand away from a hot burner, you're reacting on instinct. Nice, you're saying, don't do that, it's bad for you. What Quoth is doing is reacting on instinct. He's not stopping to think, is this the right way to approach this? Is this going to tell Sim something I don't want him to hear? Is he going to take this the wrong way? Is it going to be mean? He's just lashing out to defend not a child, but himself, by saying, don't do that.
Okay.
I like it. I want to ask, why would an alchemist make this? Why would this be a thing that has a recipe? Why would they teach this at the university?
Well, I feel like they might teach it at the university for the same reason that they teach that Mad-Eye Moody teaches them the unforgivable curses in Harry Potter to say, like, this is what it's like.
I mean, in Harry Potter, the guy teaching them the unforgivable curses is a Death Eater wearing the skin of Mad-Eye Moody, and he's trying to start shit by doing it. It's a psyop.
Sure, but his logic for doing it is sound logic that is perfectly reasonable, which is, here's a danger you might encounter out there in the world from someone else who knows alchemy. So you need to know what it is so that you can defend against it.
That they could teach
the antidote without teaching how to make the actual thing, though, could they not?
Maybe not. I mean, you usually, to make an antidote for something, you need to know what's in it so that you can counteract the ingredients that in it that are bad.
Right.
That's how antidotes work, as I understand it. You know? So
yeah.
Sim might never have been taught the exact recipe, you know? Like, maybe the university doesn't teach people the exact recipe. In fact, doesn't he say on this page, there's something an alchemist can make that does the same thing, but it's much more extreme, right? So, like, maybe he has had, like, a mild dose of the plum bob to, like, show them what it's like without really taking them around the bend.
He certainly does seem to recognize it right away. Like, it's not, he doesn't have to pour through a book to find this. He knows, okay, there's this thing, it's alchemy, it does this. Maybe it's because of the plum. Maybe that's so distinct that there can't be anything else.
Yeah, it's probably the first thing they teach.
Pretty iconic.
It's probably the first thing they teach them about it, in the same way that one of the first things that I learned about arsenic, and one of the only things I know about arsenic, is that it tastes like almonds. Because that's how you know, oh, don't eat that thing that's not supposed to taste like almonds. It might have arsenic in it.
Maybe that suggests that Ambrose is kind of a basic bitch, poisoning Quoth with, like, the simplest of the negative concoctions that they learn about.
Of poisons, or not poisons.
Well, but it's also, like, it is clearly an effective poison if your goal is not to kill someone outright, but make it look as if they died in an accident or embarrass themselves publicly, which is Ambrose's aim, right?
Well, then maybe this is a throwback to the more sinister uses of Arcanus that occasionally get alluded to, but haven't really come into play in the book yet. This idea that Arcanus existed for a long time as these entities that, you know, poisoned one another and sowed discord in the political landscape of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a holdover from that, because this is something that would do a lot of damage at court.
Absolutely. That's one of the first uses I thought of for it. And another use that might be a bit more benign is if you need people to do something that is a little risky, but, like, it'll be fine. Like, if you want to, like, get someone to go skydiving or bungee jumping, but... And, like, scared, just like, here, have a little bit of this. You'll feel fine. It'll be great.
Are you suggesting a recreational dose of plum bob?
Yeah, I am. I think that under the right circumstances, it, like many substances, under the right circumstances in a controlled environment, it could be a lot of fun. As we hearkened back to, one of the primary reasons that people drink alcohol is because it lowers your inhibitions and you have more fun.
That is a valid reading. We have rather a long letter today, so if you have no more to say, I'll move on.
I'm ready.
Do it.
All right. This is from a new writer, Josh the Barrister, who writes in defense of Fahrenheit. Hi, gang. Longtime listener here, writing for the first time to defend the Fahrenheit unit after your numerous unjustified bashings last season, since Mr. Mailbag is hopefully not too full yet. To be clear, the rest of the Imperial system is rubbish for one simple reason. It's not decimal. I still can't remember how many feet are in a mile, and I'd much rather use a 4mm drill bit than a 532 seconds of an inch drill bit any day. For weights and measures, the metric system is way more practical, and I hope us Yanks climb on board soon. But Fahrenheit is decimal. Degrees are broken into tenths, just like Celsius. So why is Fahrenheit better? It's important to understand that all measurements are arbitrary and need some starting point. For the Imperial system, that's the human body, because hundreds of years ago, we didn't have digital scales or tape measures. For the metric system, it's water, because, well, water is everywhere. In metric, water is the great unifier, so that 1 milliliter of water is 1 cubic centimeter of water is 1 gram of water, and water freezes at zero and boils at 100 Celsius. It's nice when you're working with water at standard pressure, which is pretty much never. In Denver, water boils at 94.4 Celsius. Regardless, who uses a thermometer to boil water? It's boiling when you see bubbles and it's frozen when it's solid. Even scientists don't use Celsius. They use Kelvin because it's more useful for the math. But of course, we don't use Kelvin in our everyday lives because it would be annoying to remember that 294 is a comfortable setting for our thermostat. Fahrenheit, however, tracks the human body and is thus useful for everyday experience. When it's below 0 Fahrenheit outside, it's super cold and we should probably stay inside. When it's above 100 Fahrenheit, it's super hot. We should probably stay inside. It's simple. Compared to Celsius, where 0 is, as a fellow Great Laker, actually a fairly warm day in February, and 100 is, oh my god, my skin is melting off. Not very useful. Also, because Fahrenheit has a much larger range, 0 to 100, to cover the temperatures we experience daily, we rarely use decimals. By contrast, the same range in Celsius is minus 18 to 38, which is why Celsius temperatures often include a decimal. And for the same reason, when using decimals in both, Fahrenheit is more accurate, for example, when measuring body temperatures. I'm totally on board with ditching the rest of the imperial system in favor of the metric, or I would keep Fahrenheit for temperatures for daily use, and the world would be better off for if it used Fahrenheit too. Hopefully, I've convinced you how much better Fahrenheit is than Celsius for everyday use, and you'll think twice before bashing it again. Happy casting, signed, Josh the Barrister. Josh, thank you for your insight and your analysis on Fahrenheit. You point out very clearly why it's useful. That said, I will never stop bashing it. I will never log off.
Your points are valid, but I remain unconvinced. Because 0 Celsius is too cold to go outside without a coat.
Yeah.
Although, oddly enough, 1 is a really good temperature to go running with just a long sleeve shirt on.
Yeah, if you're a running lunatic.
Living in Canada, living near the Great Lakes as you do, the 0 being the place where water freezes is very handy because you can have a sense of how cold it is and how much snow to expect based on the negative and the positive just at a glance. I do think that it requires a bit of acclimation compared to Fahrenheit, where you can go 0 to 100. That's a pretty solid scale. If you're wandering into a new place or a new, you know, biome, maybe Fahrenheit is a good example. But here, using 0 as the baseline of it's so cold that things are frozen or it's not, that makes a lot of sense to me, certainly.
Yeah, and like I don't see the need for the granularity of having a scale of 0 to 100 because in Celsius, like the only temperatures I've ever seen on a thermostat in my life are negative 20 to like positive 30. So I know that 30 is about as hot as it bloody well gets, and negative 20 is about as cold as it bloody well gets. And Fahrenheit, like water freezes at Fahrenheit at 32 degrees Celsius, right?
I don't know. But I mean, I think Josh's point is that the water is an arbitrary metric, and when it comes to detecting ambient temperature with our bodies, the body is a better baseline than water, which I think I do kind of agree with on some
all
level.
That to say, the body is mostly made of water.
Yeah, but your body's water isn't going to freeze at 0. I think that Celsius works as a baseline for the body because you have a sense of how cold it is when it's so cold that there's snow on the ground.
Yeah. Anyway, clearly this is not a debate.
Okay, wait, I didn't get to say my piece. No, you two are busy. On. I would like to sit on the fence kindly and argue that Fahrenheit, by this argument, is generally pretty equal to Celsius. The difference that we face and that you two are very much entrenched in is that it, like a language, it's what we're used to.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, we are certainly used to it.
Like, let's face it, the English language, not the best setup for a language. But do I want to learn another language? No.
Really? You don't? You have no interest in learning
another
language?
Well, I mean, like, if I had the time and the ability, sure, but, like, that's a lot of work.
Ah, I see how it is. Dude, David, it's quarantine time. Download Duolingo and learn Klingon like the rest of us.
Yes, an extremely useful language that you will use every day.
It's no fun learning a useful language. Dead languages only.
Sindarin.
Sindarin, Kenya, Dothraki, Arabesh.
Arabesh is a one-to-one of English.
Oh, it's just like they transpose the letters?
Yeah. You can actually read it. If you kind of figure out what they've done, you can actually read it. It's pretty easy.
Mm. Well, in that case, it's Hatties or bust for me. And you can bust our Hatties tomorrow.
On another page
of
the wind.